Blog Talk Radio.
Amazing Grace Ministries, and we are destroying the yokes of bondage. And again, I want to say welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Maria Carey, President and CEO of Amazing Grace Ministries. It's a pleasure to have each and every one of you on this morning. And it is our custom to kind of get the announcements out of the way. And I want to let you know that Amazing Grace School of Ministry registration was postponed till the 25th. So those of you that want to register, you still have time. Meet me at 1750 West 103rd Street, second floor, room 10, or you can contact me at 309-750-7584. We're going to do something new this year. So if you want some more information, give me a call. And, of course, last Friday, we conducted our mental health awareness class, and I want to thank each and every one of you that sacrificed to meet me at 8600 South Bishop. So with that being said, we're going to go into our topic, and we have a continuation of what we have been dealing with this month. We've been talking about our covenant relationship. We started out to define what a covenant relationship is and how God, basically his first commandment, he said that I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And certainly he has been establishing a covenant relationship with his people from the beginning all the way down to Jesus Christ. And I am here to just kind of give you a reminder of the word. And certainly we've been dealing with this. We define what covenant, the definition, we did all that. And we even talked about the fact that God remembers his promises. And Psalms 105:8 says, he remembers his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for a thousand generations. And then we talked about the fact, Hebrews 6:18, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. So basically, and I just did the first part of that scripture, and certainly write these scriptures down and go back and study them. And the topic for this morning's topic, of course, the overall series is God's covenant relationship with mankind. And today we are talking about how do we respond when God gives you a rhetorical question. Now, we go over in Genesis, and we find in chapter 18 and 14, verse 14, it says, is anything too hard for the Lord? At this time appointed, at the appointed time, I will return to you. And again, about this time next year, and Sarah should have a son. You know, the first question is like, the first thing God asks is anything too hard for the Lord? So we're exploring that. You know, God has established a relationship. And that was relationship was established with Adam and Eve, and he made us, he formed us. Of course, Satan came along, and he deceived Eve, and she did eat of the apple. But even with our mess up, even with sin, God has always been preparing a way out of no way. And he asked Sarah, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And I know in our relationship with him, sometimes we try to make our own way. We try to do or help the Lord out. So the question is this day in my life too hard for the Lord? You know, sometimes we fret about our small problems, we fret about this, we fret about that, we fret about the fact that we don't have money to do the things we need to do. But God has said, I will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And we sometimes want the best of everything, but that might not be the plan for God. You know, I think about this. Everybody is going to the lottery and trying to play the lotto and mega Powerball, and everybody is lining up to get that one big break, that one big opportunity to get that money so that they can be sitting on High Street. But the saints of God, we are the people of God. The Bible says that I have established my covenant with you. So in essence, I am responsible to provide for your needs. I am responsible to make it work out when you trust me. So is there a habit that you're trying to break, and is it too hard for him? And I should have gave you the definition, and I want to go back to give you the definition of rhetorical, what a rhetorical question is. It is a question with no answer. And God is good for that. He will throw something out at you and sit back for you to say, okay, now how are you going to respond to that? Although there is no answer to that question, but how are you going to respond? He says, I am the God Jehovah. Hallelujah. I will make a way out of no way. Now, how are you going to respond to that? It's a rhetorical question. He is not expecting an answer, but he is expecting you to believe in his promises and to understand what a covenant relationship means. It means that because I am on the Lord's side, because I have made an effort to come on the Lord's side, I'm committed to living like I'm supposed to, or like the Bible has told me, free from sin. And I am repenting on a daily basis because I want a sincere relationship with Christ Jesus. I recognize and I understand that I have been bought by a price. What was that price? That price was Christ coming and dying on the cross for me. He shed his blood for me. And because he shed his blood for me, and I have accepted, I have said, I am going to have a relationship with Christ Jesus by repenting of my sins. I don't know why I'm going this way, but I am. And I have repented. Now I am going to understand that I have a covenant relationship. Back in the beginning, in the Old Testament to the New Testament, he has established that covenant relationship. Now he asked Sarah this rhetorical question, and he asked of us the same question because he wants to know that habit, that situation, that problem that you're having, is it too hard for God? And basically, he's asking you this question to remind you of who he is. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's none like Jehovah. There is none like him. He will make a way out of no way. He will make a way in the desert. And the Bible speaks of this. It's often so hard for us to wait. Whether we're expecting something good or something bad or whether's the unknown, God has said, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you that house, I'm going to build your ministry, or you're going to be healed, but yet you're still sick. And it's hard for us to wait. It's hard for us to sit and wait on the Lord. But you know, that waiting process, it's a process. It's a grooming process. It's a training process. It's a time where God begins to show you or teach you and give you nuggets of who he really is, because he recognizes that we are frail. And I often say that this flesh, y'all, is not saved. If we don't put this flesh under subjection by praying, by fasting, by reading his word, then we will go haywire. This flesh will tell us to do all kinds of abominable things. And you have to understand, this is also the month of October. This month has Halloween. So therefore, the forces of evil are charged up, and they're going at us with supernatural, with extreme force. And again, Ephesians 6:12 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, So in essence, because we got all of that going on, and now God has given us or given us a promise and told us that we're going to cross over to the promised land, hallelujah, but we get tired. We want to help the Lord out. But the Lord has said, is there anything too hard for me? I'm sitting on the throne. I made you. I know the hairs on your head. I know what your future is going to look like. I know what you're going to do today. There's nothing impossible for me. The Bible says that the cattle on the thousand hills belong to him. But we get tired of waiting. And once we get tired of waiting, once we get tired of looking for the promise, then we try to help the Lord out. We are like Sarah in essence. You know, Sarah sent her Egyptian servant in to her husband when the Lord had given her a promise to know that she was going to give birth to her own son, but she laughed. And how many times can we look at our life and say, well, yeah, God has said it, but I really don't believe it. Because you doubt what God can do in you. And Sarah really doubted the fact she's of age, she's old, she's waxed old, and she didn't feel like this body is going to give birth. Am I going to be like the young women and be able to bear a child in my old age? So in essence, she said, look, let me help the Lord out. Let me get my servant to go in with my husband, and she's going to bear a child for him. And I think Sarah thought it was a pretty good idea at the time. But how many of you know that some of the decisions that you've made in your life to help God, I know you're going to give me this car. I know you're going to give me this house. I know I'm going to go and put my money on the lotto, and I'm going to get this big old payout. God, you a mighty God, even though it's 3 billion to one. We want to help God. We want to help God. And we think it's a good idea at the time, but then as time passes, we begin to see it wasn't a good idea at all. Now we have got to live with the mistakes we have made because we tried to help God out. And God is saying, is there anything too hard for me? In essence, you don't have to help me out. All you have to do is just sit and wait patiently for what I am going to do for you. You know, we have got to line our lives up, and we've got to be prayerful. We've got to have a time period while we're waiting to do some spiritual exercise. Because once we're going through the test, God can't give us that promise until he got us ready. And we are some of the most difficult people because we're standing in our own way. And because we're standing in our own way, because we're doubting, we don't believe that God is able to move in us. You know, God, I can't speak eloquently. So how can you speak through me? Lord, I've got some physical limitations. How can you move in me when I have these physical limitations? Lord, I am sick. How can you use me and I'm sick? But the Lord is saying, is there anything too hard for me? I don't work. I work through your weaknesses. You know, Paul said, look, God, in essence, and I'm paraphrasing it, look, God, I've got this weakness, And I keep going to you and going to you, and I'm praying and I'm praying and I'm praying, and I'm asking you to take it away, and you are not taking it away. And then he threw out, my grace is sufficient, meaning I'm going to take who you are, your limitations, and I'm going to put the Holy Spirit on it, and the Holy Spirit is going to perform through you, because I am King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there's none like me, and I will not share my glory with anybody. So in essence, Sarah waited 90 years before she had a child. Can you wait 90 years for the promise? Sometimes the challenge is even waiting 5 years, or I'm going to say even 2 years, or even 1 year. She was confronted about her laughter. And she heard, and that time it was a custom that the men would entertain their guests, and the women would be maybe in the next tent preparing the meal or whatever. But the women were not entertaining strangers with their lords or the men. So in essence, you would say that she was kind of eavesdropping on the conversation that Abraham was having. And go back and read it. Read Genesis. This Genesis chapter 18, 17. Certainly it will uplift your heart, and it will encourage your mind to know that God is in the blessing business. And, you know, we laugh sometimes when God has given us a promise, when God has given us a word, and when God has given us instructions, we doubt his ability to move in us. But, you know, God is a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power, according to our beliefs. And a lot of times we're waiting because our belief system is not up to par. We don't trust them like we need to. You know, we've got to just believe no matter what. We've got to believe, and then we've got to exercise our belief by putting it in motion. If he said, look, you're going on a trip, and Satan throws some things in your way. He throws some obstacles in your way, and yet you just want to say, I tried to trust God. I tried, but he's not showing up. See, Satan is there, and he wants to hinder your blessing. But because God has said it, does not mean it's not on the way. You know, I look at the book of Daniel and how Daniel went into prayer, and it took that angel 21 days to get to Daniel, and that's because of the enemy. And that's because the enemy wants to stop you. He wants to discourage you. He wants to make you feel like God is not on your side. He wants to make you feel that God does not have a covenant with you. And I am here to let you know that God has a covenant with you, and he can only swear by himself. And because he has that covenant with us, he said that I'm going to make it good. So I want to ask you these questions. What part of your life seems to be on hold right now? Do you understand that it may be part of God's plan for you? And what are you doing in your waiting period to build up your faith and to encourage yourself? David encouraged himself. How did he encourage himself? Well, he danced before the Lord, and he danced so until he danced out of his shirt. We have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We have to bless the Lord. We have to keep our minds focused. We have to keep our minds stayed on the Lord. We have to pray without ceasing. We have to seek Him. We have to make sure that we're spending time in His presence, because we have to build up the inner man. That inner man is that inner spirit. And when we build up the inner man and allow the Spirit of God to transform us, then the waiting time will be easier, because God will be putting nuggets in us and growing us and making ways and telling us what to do to get ready for the promise. Because we've got to keep our ears and our eyes open. We have got to be wise in this day and time. That being said, I've been talking about this month, and I've been talking about Halloween, and I want to shift for a little bit. And I want to read this. I want to read Corinthians 1, 1 Corinthians 6, 14 through 17. And God raised the Lord. God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of prostitutes? Never. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For it is written, the two will become one flesh. But who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. So I say that to say this, that we have to understand what we're connecting ourselves with. God does not have any connection with darkness, and we are to make sure that we're walking in the light. We cannot connect to this world and think that we're going to have a relationship with Christ Jesus. It's not going to happen. Why? Because this world is sinful, and this world is looking to lie, to scheme, and certainly it does not walk in love. Hallelujah. Let us go into prayer. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to come before your presence. We exalt you. We magnify you. We thank you, God, that you're working and you're moving in our lives. And I thank you, God, for each and every one that's on the line this morning. I pray, God, that you've given them a word that will move them, a word that will move in their lives, an application and change their lives and move, God, for your glory, God, because all of this is because of you. God, we do it not for vainglory, but to lift you up and to edify you. And Father God, we pray, God, we bind sickness in the name of Jesus. We speak healing right now, God. God, each and every one that needs a healing touch, God, right now in the name of Jesus. God, move in their lives like never before. God, you know the need right now in the name of Jesus. And we speak it, God. We speak it in the name of Jesus. Whatever the obstacle Satan is trying to hinder them with, we bind it in the name of Jesus. We speak healing in the name of Jesus. We speak clarity in the name of Jesus. Father God, move right now in the name of Jesus. Touch our people, God. Oh, in Jesus' name, God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Again, send me a comment. You can text me at 309-750-7584. Send me a comment, send me a question, whatever the case may be. If you want to hear something, or you want to, if there's a topic that you want to explore, you can also do that as well at that same number. I appreciate each and every one that was on the line today. I thank you. I'm going to continue to lift you up in prayer. Pray for me also. Again, Amazing Grace School of Ministry will be in registration on next week. come and meet with me, 1750 West 103rd Street. I will. It will be a pleasure. We're going to be on the second floor, room 10. I look to see you then. God bless. Bye-bye.